Hello, Doug Brown joining Brendan Stone this week on Unusual Sources on CFMU, McMaster Radio, 93.3 FM. Well, this is fundraising week, so an important week for us. It's an important week for McMaster Radio. We rely on listener support. We're a non-commercial station, of course. So we will be giving you information throughout the show on where to call and how to go about it if you'd like to make a pledge to CFMU so that we can stay on the air. It does cost money. Everybody doing the shows is volunteers, of course, but it does cost money to operate a studio. So we hope that we can count on your support, and we will come back to this theme occasionally during the day. You know, we're approaching, the middle of the month. We have Israel Anti-Apartheid Week, and I can hear rustling in the background, so I know that I've got Tyler Levitin of Independent Jewish Voices. There's been some interesting developments recently, and we'd like to get Tyler to explain what's been happening and some of the implications. So, Tyler, are you there?
I am. How are you doing, Doug?
Very well. You snowed in?
Yeah, pretty much.
Same here. Okay, Tyler, I think we were pretty appalled at events in Parliament just a short time ago. This motion that got passed, can you describe what the motion was about how did this come about and what happened with it?
So the motion was basically a condemnation of the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, which is a nonviolent means of protesting Israel's ongoing violations of international law. The movement was started in 2005 by over 170 Palestinian civil society organizations, ranging from women's organizations to labor unions. And it's basically a means of resisting Israel's ongoing colonization of Palestinian lands in the occupied territories. It's institutional discrimination against Palestinian citizens of Israel. And it's a complete rejection of the rights of Palestinian refugees to return to their homes or receive compensation based on United Nations Resolution 194. And so basically all of these violations of international law are acknowledged by Canada in our official policy, and we oppose them in our official policy. And Palestinians are left with really no choice in terms of resisting nonviolently, but to call on supporters of their rights internationally to put external pressure on Israel to comply with international law and Palestinian rights. But the Canadian Parliament doesn't see it this way. They appear to side with the Israel lobby in this country, which is not interested in debating this issue at all, which is completely opposed to any kind of human rights for Palestinians, and does everything in their power to bully people into silence, particularly with the growing Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement in Canada and globally. They have now resorted to governments to try and quell any kind of resistance to Israel's occupation and violations of international law. So it's a condemnation of this movement, even though, as I just mentioned, our official policy, like on the Foreign Affairs website, explicitly opposes everything that Israel's doing and in which this movement is protesting. So it's really a vilification and demonization of human rights activists in Canada. There's been several trade unions and different religious organizations in Canada, in addition to human rights organizations, who have endorsed the call for boycott, divestment, sanctions, and who are using this as a nonviolent tool to compel Israel to, as I said, respect international law. Has nothing to do with anti-Semitism, nothing to do with the hatred of Jewish people. But if you actually listen to the the debate in the House of Commons, or it wasn't really much of a debate, but more so the attack on the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement and Palestinian human rights activists, most of the arguments being used were basically claiming that the movement is anti-Semitic, and of course invoking the Holocaust and other forms of pernicious historic hatred of Jewish people that of course any human rights activist completely condemns, but invoking that as a means of trying to conflate Zionism and the State of Israel with Jews, and henceforth conflating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, when they're in fact very different things.
Yeah, and it's interesting, this condemnation applies to a lot of people. Well, it certainly applies to you and to me, because I support the BDS. But looking down the list of who gets condemned here, basically, they're condemning the United Church of Canada, one of the biggest religious denominations in the country, a church with a very proud history. Also, the Quakers, another very respected church. Organizations like the Postal Workers Union. It's incredible to think of Parliament condemning such a wide swath of the population.
Yeah, it is really appalling. It's very disturbing because it really is an affront to freedom of speech. Of course, it's not criminalizing the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, so we're still able to retain our rights to engage in these kind of activities. But it's really adding to the chilly climate in Canada that was really started by the conservatives around criticizing Israel in any form. It's not just boycott, divestment, and sanctions. It's as any form of suggesting that Israeli, perhaps, settlement products be boycotted, or divestment of certain companies that are complicit in Israel's human rights violations be engaged in, which is what the United Church of Canada has been supporting for years now. Basically, the government is saying that you're not allowed to really criticize Israel, and if you do, it's completely legitimate to label you as an anti-Semite. So they're equating Jews who live in Canada and elsewhere in the world with a foreign state that is not at all equivalent to all Jewish people. That would be the equivalent of our government saying that to criticize Saudi Arabia and calling for economic sanctions on Saudi Arabia, you're actually calling for hatred of all Muslims. I mean, it's a very absurd idea, but this is actually what 229 of our members of parliament voted in favor of condemning.
Yeah, it's really quite incredible. And as you said, what the people that support BDS and support Palestinian rights, they're not anti-Israeli. They're anti-Israel government policies, that are illegal and counter to, international law and various resolutions. And I don't know why people, why it isn't clear to people, what that's really what it's about. And, when I think of, well, you mustn't criticize a certain country, that's ludicrous. I mean, we as Canadians, I'm sure most of us criticize Canada when the government, as it frequently does some things very bad. So, to say that criticism and action to correct bad behavior is basically racism, anti-Semitism, to me it makes no sense at all. But looking at the political side here, the motion was from Tony Clement, I believe, conservative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the conservatives, of course, they were 100% behind it.
Yeah.
But really disappointing. The liberals were maybe not 100%, but like 90-something percent behind it. I contacted my liberal MP and asked that she not vote for it. I did not get a response, but I did notice when I checked the record that she had voted for it. The other Burlington Liberal MP, I noticed, was away for the vote, which I guess means basically an abstention, which I guess is better than voting for it. The NDP, I think they were 100% against, but but on the other hand, NDP didn't really distinguish themselves either. I mean, they're correct on the freedom of speech issue, but there's not a. I don't believe there's a single member of the NDP in Parliament that is in favor of BDS, at least publicly.
No, there isn't. I mean, there used to be. Libby Davies was certainly sympathetic to the movement. She's no longer an MP. And so, no, there's no, to my knowledge, NDP MPs that are openly supportive of the BDS movement.
So it's quite incredible. And in the NDP, my take on it, because there were three candidates in the last election that were disqualified. Their nomination was not accepted because they had at some point in their lives been critical of Israel.
Yeah, so, these aren't people who openly endorsed the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. They just merely criticized Israel's policies at one point in time.
Yeah, Paul
in their lives. I mean, the instances that they brought up were from years ago. Right?
Well, Paul Manley, I mean, how can he be faulted? Israeli Defense Force basically kidnapped him in the open seas and threw him in jail and. Jim Manley, a former MP, and Paul doing what any son would do, do his utmost to make sure for his father's safety and for his freedom, that disqualified him from seeking the nomination. It's not a good sign, which means. Well, would things ever change in Parliament if the parties are going to not even let people that would be supportive of BDS run as a candidate?
Well, I mean, there was definitely a shining light that came out of the debate, and that was actually from the Bloc Québécois' response to it. Mm-hmm. There was members of the Bloc that said that it's a perfectly legitimate form of protest, mm-hmm. and condoning it. The NDP didn't say it's a legitimate form of protest. They just said that, essentially, we don't want to be infringing on people's rights to free speech.
Yeah.
But still, really only had disdain for the movement and have always expressed that, mostly from Tom Mulcair, and really, I think, coming from the leadership. And then the NDP MPs have kind of just, followed, but I would imagine that a lot of NDP MPs are quite sympathetic to the movement and are quite embarrassed by being associated with Israel through Mulcair's very uncritical approach to Israel and to this issue. I'd imagine that because a lot of NDP MPs are social justice activists and have that long history, they're quite familiar with this issue and know where the truth lies. The issue is that it's politically very unsavvy to speak out publicly in support of Palestinian human rights. So a lot of them are kind of just bullied into silence by the Israel lobby and their own interests, their own, I guess, career interests and wanting to keep their job and not, be viciously attacked by this lobby.
Right. Yeah. So pretty sad situation, but I was wondering if there might be a little silver lining to this in that, it's been hard to get, a lot of publicity for the BDS. I know there's a slogan that bad publicity is better than no publicity at all, that, at least maybe more of the public is now been made aware of the issue and that there is this campaign to peaceably, work for justice for the Palestinians. What's your thoughts on that?
I would like to see that there's a positive that comes out of it because of the fact that it's at least put this issue into some sort of mainstream kind of venue because it's been in the media quite a bit. but it really has all been very negative. It's unfortunate. There's one really solid article that was written by Patrick Martin, who's one of the columnists for the Globe and Mail, whose focus is on Israel-Palestine. And he went through the motion and essentially the debate around it and picked out all of the inconsistencies and all of essentially the inaccuracies that were contained in both the motion and the debate. And, he basically debunked all of these myths, because really what it was the conservatives and then the liberals kind of responding, but in ways that just kind of added on to the conservatives' spewing of Israeli propaganda talking points, essentially just mythology, making baseless allegations about the movement being anti-Semitic, claiming that it wants to destroy Israel, invoking the Holocaust whenever it can as a means of exploiting Jewish suffering in order to silence criticism of Israel, which they all frequently do and is very insulting to many Jewish people such as myself. It's unfortunate that there wasn't really more kind of criticism of it in mainstream media, because it seems like, on the surface in our conversation, we've been able to expose very, very clearly that this is extremely disturbing, that our members of parliament would devote taxpayer dollars towards really just attacking a civil society, nonviolent movement in support of human rights. It's quite disturbing that there's been so little condemnation of this, or even really critical examination of this. Aside from Patrick Martin's piece, I'm not familiar with any other piece in mainstream media that really challenged what was debated in the House of Commons. There was a lot of really disturbing things that were said, and none of this has been challenged. And in fact, independent Jewish voices, sent around op-ed pieces to mainstream media in Canada, and none of them have picked it up. We've also responded through letters to the editor to some of the attack pieces that have followed the BDS motion. It wasn't enough that this anti-BDS motion was, essentially covered and very uncritically at the time, but in the aftermath of the motion successfully passing, there's been these vicious attack articles on the BDS movement in mainstream media, mostly through post-media papers, which is not surprising. But just in the last week and a half alone, there's been two in the Ottawa Citizen, one by Terry Glavin, the other by Robert Sibley, that were just essentially echoing all of the talking points that the Israeli government uses and that these Canadian parliamentarians used. And I wrote letters to the editor for both of them, and neither of them got published. And none of the letters to the editor, to my knowledge, got published on this issue. So, I mean, it is a very clear kind of media agenda. It seems like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it seems quite clear that there's deliberate attempt by the people who run these papers and news outlets not to publish anything that really challenges this motion. As I said, aside from this Patrick Martin piece, as a columnist, I think he had quite a bit of a freedom to be able to write what he wanted, but certainly no follow-up op-eds in the Globe and Mail or any other paper that gave a voice to people who actually support this movement, who are being officially condemned by our members of parliament.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certainly lacking any kind of balance with the corporate media that, in fact, responsible journalism requires that you get both sides of the story, and there's absolutely no effort to do this across the board, with the exception, as you said, of Patrick Martin, but... very one-sided. I'll put a little plug in again, unfortunately the corporate media, is becoming more and more one-sided in this way. We see it, on virtually every issue, whether it's, Israel-Palestine or the war on Syria or local social issues. It's really just on, independent media like CFMU that we can really give voice to the other side that is certainly not getting heard through the corporate media. Well, maybe we can move on to a few other things. I know Independent Jewish Voices has been working on a number of campaigns beyond, I won't even leave BDS because I think there's been some developments, positive developments on the BDS campaign itself. So can you give us an update on how the BDS campaign has been going?
In Canada, it's mostly active on university campuses. There was a victory at McGill University where this undergraduate student body voted in favor of BDS. And this was actually the same day that Parliament passed the anti-BDS motion that it did. So it was certainly ironic that while it was being condemned, students at a university, which generally universities are associated with, being kind of at the forefront of the development of progressive ideas and do shape ultimately the direction that society heads in to a large extent. Certainly the anti-apartheid movement against apartheid South Africa was spearheaded and led to a large extent at universities by students. And it's the case with other movements for social justice and change around the world. I think that was quite telling. Unfortunately, there was a ratification vote that needed to take place following the successful passing of the BDS resolution at McGill, and that failed to pass. It's not surprising. You have the Montreal Gazette publishing ridiculous, sensationalist pieces about Jewish students feeling unsafe and anti-Semitism and all sorts of things, and not giving any kind of attention to the issue of the fact that Palestinians have their rights violated systematically on a daily basis. A lot of this idea of Jewish students feeling unsafe, it's important that people feel safe on campus, but, criticizing a country shouldn't lead to people being silenced for that criticism because certain people on campus feel uncomfortable by it. If you feel uncomfortable by a country being criticized, then you found yourself in the right place. The university is supposed to encourage debate and dialogue on these important issues rather than trying to silence people by saying, I feel uncomfortable or unsafe by people challenging nonviolently Israel's systematic abuses of Palestinian human rights. What we should be doing is encouraging debate and discussion. When you have mainstream media attacking this movement, saying it's anti-Semitic, saying that it's bad for Jewish students, even though it's specifically a few Zionist Jewish students that are being pushed by Israel lobby organizations to make a huge fuss out of the fact that people support Palestinian human rights on campus and making sensationalist claims about this movement that are completely false. It's really debilitating to the movement when these kinds of attacks are being made, and of course from the highest seat of power, from the Prime Minister and from the majority of parliamentarians, to condemn this and to reject it is not going to encourage people, generally speaking, to support something that has gotten so much negative attention from politicians and the media.
Again, the media has been so one-sided on this issue, to me, I look at BDS. It's 100% peaceful. It does not defame any ethnic group. I mean, it's very clear. Very explicit that here's the problem. These are the policies that we have to fight against. They're policies of the Israeli government. Trying to misrepresent the movement is really irresponsible journalism.
It is, yeah, and it's really par for the course in terms of mainstream media in Canada, sadly. It is really important to have alternative media in this country doing the great work that they do and actually speaking to these the people on the ground to understand the issue well have a different point of view that the media otherwise ignores because it you know, doesn't really jive well with corporate interests.
Right.
So yeah, I would definitely encourage your listeners to support your radio station and you know, to really give as much money as they can to keep these voices you know, coming, and you know, really it gives lots of momentum to these movements, and lots of support, moral support, to have these kind of outlets where we can actually get the word out to more people and be given some sort of a platform. So thank you for having me on your show, and thanks for doing what you're doing.
Well, and thank you, and thank you to your organization that continues to do wonderful work. Maybe before we finish, IJV, I think along with CJPME, is sponsoring some good speakers to speak at various venues, some of them local, Hamilton and Toronto. I think Brendan has a list of these events which we'll be going to, but I was just... would you like to speak to that, Tyler, about some of the upcoming speaking tours? I noticed
sure.
There was one with
yeah.
Max Blindenfeld is going to be coming, and I'll let you describe some of these actions.
Sure. Yeah. Well, IJV has a speaking tour that's coming up at the end of the month. We're going to be touring a Palestinian man named Haider Abu Ghosh across Canada. He's going to be speaking in 8 cities, including in Hamilton. He'll be in Hamilton on March 28th. I don't know if Brendan was going to list those details.
You know, it was funny. I had the date, and I didn't have the speaker. So thank you very much for that. We can fill that in. The speaker, I know his background. He's from a village that is now sits under Canada Park. But
yes.
What is our speaker's name?
Haider Abu Ghosh.
Haider Abu Ghosh. Yeah. So that is on the 28th. He'll be in Hamilton, and actually, there's 2 events in Hamilton, I believe. I think one event during the day at the university, and then at New Vision Church in downtown Hamilton in the evening. Okay.
Yes. I have that information. Would you like me to give that information to your listeners now, or will Brendan do that after?
Give us the information. We'll be repeating a lot of it during the show too. So
sure.
Yeah.
So it's going to be as you said on March 28th, a Monday. The first lecture he's going to be giving is going to be at 11:30 a.m. Between 11:30 and 1, and it's going to take place at the McMaster University Student Center.
Mm-hmm.
The exact room is yet to be announced, but if you come to the Student Center, they will definitely direct you to the appropriate place. And then later that day, at 7 p.m., from 7 to 9, Haider will talk at the New Vision United Church, which is at 24 Main Street West.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these are wheelchair accessible venues and pretty easy to get to from downtown. Free admission for both. We are encouraging as many people to come as possible. It's being sponsored by Independent Jewish Voices, the Canadian Union of Postal Workers, the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, Hamilton Chapter, the Palestinian Association of Hamilton, and it's endorsed by Solidarity with Palestinian Human Rights at McMaster University. And Haider is an incredible guy. He was expelled from his hometown, his village of Imwas, at the age of 14. Imwas was subsequently destroyed. It was demolished deliberately by Israel and the Jewish National Fund, whose branch in Canada has charitable status. His village, along with the ruins of a couple other Palestinian villages that saw the same fate, have been covered over by a park, a recreational park, called Canada Park. This is, fully subsidized by Canadians, Canadian taxpayers, were able to, allow many Canadians to receive tax receipts for donating to this park. at in 1970s dollar or 1970s it was 15 million. So that's a lot more in today's dollars. But a significant proportion of that was underwritten by Canadian taxpayers. And to this day, we're actually subsidizing as Canadian taxpayers upkeep to the park and additions to the park. So Haider wants to speak about how, as Canadians, we're implicated, really, in crimes against Palestinians that are ongoing. And this park is a violation of the Fort Geneva Convention because it prevents refugees from returning to their homes, which they have a right to do, in occupied territory as well. I mean, this is a park that actually is completely on the Palestinian side of the Green Line, so it's in the West Bank. And so it would be great if, you know, if you can take your Monday evening to come out and see Haider speak and figure out how you can get involved to support justice for Palestinians and ultimately peace in that region, which is really, really requires at least a modicum of justice for Palestinians. And as Canadians, we need to know how we're implicated in these kind of ongoing injustices.
Right, and we'll be repeating that information as we get closer to the event. So, Tyler, thanks so much for this. Very informative, and we'll be following this issue, of course. As things proceed, I hope that we start to make some progress in this very important area. So.
Well, yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much for inviting me on your show, and keep up the good work.
Okay, and thank you. And that was Tyler Levitin of Independent Jewish Voices speaking to us from Ottawa.